Hi, this is Tricia Stewart Shu, and this is the audio version of Zoe Magazine's Artistic Allegory article for December. The article title is Sociologically Subjective, Mom and Pop Art. A revolution is on its way, and partly because we no longer take our standards from the Tweety top. All over the country, young girls are starting, shouting, and shaking, and if they terrify you, they mean to. And they are beginning to impress the world. Pauline Bodie, The Public Ear, 1963. Simple and subjective, our upbringing can be a revolutionary driving force or an authoritative divisive wedge to artistic flow. Throughout the history of pop art, both masculine and feminine powers have defied and defined artistic sensibilities. Mothers have had a profound influence in creative endeavors, whether by actually creating pop art or through motherly channel. That messy, one-of-a-kind, umbilical connection that has birthed some of the greatest artists and movements in history. For example, the one and only founder of British pop art shook things up during her short time here on Earth. She passed at age 28. Pauline Bodie, 1938 through 1966, continued to create art through a pregnancy, cancer diagnosis during a prenatal exam, and birth of her daughter, sketching the Rolling Stones and releasing her final painting, Bum, which was commissioned by Kenneth Tynan for O Calcutta just months before her death. If you don't immediately recognize her name, that's because her entire body of work was put in storage following her passing and was only released for exhibition after 1993. Bodie, dubbed the mother of pop art, delved deeply into the emotional undercurrent of society. What is most amazing is that those themes, specifically the sexualization of women, are highly relevant today. An article, 11 Female Artists Who Left Their Mark on Pop Art, describes her art as disorienting and experimental. Bodie's segment departed from those of her male compatriots. Rather than the cool detachment of a Warhol or Roy Lichtenstein, Bodie's work sprang from involved interest, referencing political subjects like the Cuban Missile Crisis. Although there seem to be several fathers of pop art, Richard Hamilton, Roy Lichtenstein, and Andy Warhol to name three, the latter garners the title for stellar motherly influences in fatherly artistic advances. Because Warhol was sick quite a bit as a child, his mother would sit with him for hours and they would create art projects together. Julia Warhola said, "I buy him comic books. Cut, cut, cut. Nice, cut out pictures from comic books." Warhol's complicated bond with his mother would go on to spark one of the most well-known pop art pieces of all time. In fact, the most eminent of Andy's imagery, Campbell's tomato soup can, was drawn from the nostalgia of his mother giving it to him for lunch every day after school. Following him to New York City, his mother continued to collaborate with her son as Warhol's star began to rise. Julia Warhola had artistic aspirations herself, but it was her son's passion that she fostered from childhood, says Katie White in Thanks, Mom, Six Famous Artists Who Loved Their Mothers So Much They Made Them Their Creative Muses. Occasionally, her own pieces were given their own platform, as with her publication Holy Cats, a book filled with whimsically drawn depictions of beatific cats, which she signed, not with her own name, but as Andy Warhol's mother. Sociologically speaking, parental influence is highly subjective and fraught with judgment and opinion with regard to pop art. The best part of any movement is riding those waves of heated judgment and influential understandings, while each of us remembers exactly from where we came. Remembering is the key.